Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen again to Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. My dear friends in Christ, some time ago, one of our national news magazines had a rather interesting cover picture. It showed a group of people walking in the same direction on one of the streets of Manhattan. It was a crowded street, a busy street. The people were walking to work, as it were, carrying briefcases or millstones around their neck. They all had sad, maybe depressed appearances on their faces. And they were walking right by a church cathedral. Now, in this particular picture, a janitor was up about the 14th step of the ladder, changing the church sign. The church sign said, "Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes." That's what you and I need to do each and every day. We go rushing through life with our heads down, just like those people in that picture, forgetting what this is all about, and getting all upset and worried and anxious and nervous because of it, because we too easily forget what this is all about. We need to stop, just like we're doing right now, and lift up our eyes and look into the face of our God and hear again his beautiful promises and thank God. Every day when the chapel bell rings at 9:30 a.m., we are reminded to come to this house of prayer and give thanks to God. Each and every day when God's blessings are put before us at the dinner table, Martin Luther's catechism reminds us to bow our heads and give thanks to our God. Psalm 100 tells us how and why we are to thank our God. It begins by telling us how to respond to the goodness of God in our lives. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Shout for joy to the Lord. In other words, praise God in such a way that other people will notice. After all, why does a person shout? In order to be heard, right? With joy, we proclaim with every fiber in our being that our God is the one who is to be praised and adored. And the people around us will take notice. They will see as we serve the Lord with gladness. Service is the activity, but gladness is the attitude. And neither one should be difficult for any one of us. Because, you see, we know who we are, and we also know what God has done for us and continues to do for us. That's why we gladly and willingly, to put it another way, come before him with joyful songs. Coming before God with joyful songs certainly conveys the important and God-ordained idea of corporate worship, as we're doing at this moment. But worship in its most basic sense is much more than a group activity confined to a designated building at a designated time. The Apostle Paul casts worship in a greater light and in more personal terms when he talks about believers being living sacrifices in our entire lives being acts of spiritual worship. We therefore come before God not just with joyful songs on our lips, but also in our minds, in our hearts. But why? Why such a life of thanksgiving and praise and service and joy? Our psalm provides the answer. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Here we are given the two essential reasons for thanking God. We know Him, and He knows us. Think about this life-changing fact that we too often take for granted. We know that the Lord is God. I don't know if you caught this, but in our English translation, the word Lord, L-O-R-D, is capitalized. It's an English device to remind us that this is Yahweh. This is Yahweh, the great I Am, the one truly eternal existing one who has shown himself to us throughout history as the Savior God of free and faithful grace. And we know Him. More than that, we have a personal relationship with Him. We are His beloved children, members of His beloved family. Through the power and work of God's Holy Spirit, we know who God is. We know what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We know what He continues to do and will do in the future for us through the same Lord, Jesus Christ. For this knowledge that you and I consider to be so basic, for this knowledge that provides us with all the comfort, hope, strength, and confidence for life that we need, thank God. Because everything else in all the world is secondary to knowing the one true God. The first reason for thanksgiving, we know Him. The second reason for profound thankfulness is He knows us. It is He who made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Here I'm reminded that God is not just the creator of all things. He's the creator of you and me. If you and I were paintings, we would all be His originals. Martin Luther calls us to this attention in the words of the meaning of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me in all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. And still takes care of them. God is not only our creator, He's our preserver. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. In other words, He not only knows us, He owns us. We are His. And as such, He takes care of us, providing for each and every one of our individual needs. The imagery is a familiar one that is found throughout Scripture. Like a shepherd who watches over and takes care of his sheep, so the Lord watches over us and takes care of us. The blessings that our Lord has showered upon us physically, materially, and spiritually are too numerous to mention. But in our catechism lesson for today, we are encouraged to remember and give thanks to God as we gather together in joy and enjoy our daily meals. In my home growing up, my parents added to the common table prayer, "We thank thee for all that is provided for us. Amen." When I'd have friends over for lunch or dinner, I would always throw them into a concern as they would say amen and everybody in the family would be continuing on. Thank the Lord. I had a colleague who, whenever we went to the restaurant, after the waitress took the order, he would ask the waitress, "What can we pray for you today?" One day, he asked the waitress, "And what could we pray for you today?" And she responded in a rather interesting way. She said, "Well, if I were you, I'd give thanks to God today." We kind of looked at her kind of funny, and she said, "Well," we said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, we've got a new cook today, and the one we had yesterday wasn't very good." Thanking God. As you reflect upon the blessings that God has given you, maybe that's a way of remembering that we shouldn't forget to thank God for the things that we don't have. For instance, He hasn't given you so many riches that you've lost the riches of Christ. He hasn't given you the whole world so that in the process you have lost your own soul. He hasn't given you so many friends that you have forgotten what a friend you have in Jesus. And He hasn't given you so many good days in a row so that you've forgotten to look upward and remember the words of Psalm 121, "My help comes from the Lord." And in all the difficulties that accompany living in this fallen world, He's not allowed you to forget this promise. God is faithful. In these last days of the quarter, some of you may be a little bit concerned and anxious about that new vicarage assignment or that deaconess internship. Maybe some of you are wrestling with making the transition from seminary life to parish life to begin a new call. And then there are those of you who have given 4 or 5 years of study here at the seminary and are still awaiting that first call. And it seems like the anxiety, the doubt, the fear, even the cynicism seems to multiply with each passing day. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Thank God. Thank God for what you do have. He's the giver of all that is good in life. And thank God for what you don't have. He has spared you much evil. With that in mind, let us, in the words of our psalm, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Our text concludes by reminding us of some of the characteristics of God, which in turn provide us with even more reason to be thankful. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Why thank God? Because the Lord is good, loving, and faithful. We could spend considerable time reflecting on each and every one of these qualities, but today let it be sufficient to say that the highest expression of God's goodness, the highest expression of His love, the highest expression of His faithfulness comes to us, His creatures, through the life, death, and resurrection of His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. We express this quite clearly in the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood and His innocent suffering and death." I'd like to ask you to take your hymnal, if you would, and turn to our hymn for the day, hymn 894. Hymn 894. For the fruits of his creation. The hymnist puts it so very well. Notice verse 3. For the harvests of the Spirit, thanks be to God. For the good we all inherit, thanks be to God. For the wonders that astound us, for the truths that still confound us, most of all that love has found us, thanks be to God. And note the words in italics just below the hymn. Of all the gifts for which we are thankful to God, the greatest by far is that his love in Christ has found us. Yes, all thanks be to God. Amen. In the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.